Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I think I'll miss that. Everybody, you are now live to the Livest Radio Show, the Middlemen Show on blogtalkradio.com. And I'm Alan.
Yo, you already know who it is. It's Kevin. KG, what's happening, baby?
And this is Jen.
That sounded so dry after I just did that.
That's just me. Are y'all calling me like I'm dry?
No. It just sounded so Ashy Larry.
I'm gonna remember this.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Hey, man, you back this week, huh?
Yeah, I'm back, man. I'm back in the place to be, the building. You know, the show, Little Men Show, the best show on blogtalkradio.com. We're gonna get it cracking today. Got a good topic today.
Yeah. Hey, man. I want to send a shout out, special shout out to our guy, Nick Eaton. He held it down with us last week. Hey, Nick, appreciate you for doing that, homie. Hey,
yeah.
Man, he brought a good side to the show, and I appreciate him holding it down for you last week, man. And we know you was with your intelligent brother, so, you know, we know what's going down.
Yeah, Dan, I heard what you said, too.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
I ain't getting in the middle of this.
Mm-hmm.
About you being a good black man?
Yeah, for everybody out there that listens to the show, everybody know that Jen is a ABW.
What is that?
I'm what?
ABW.
What
is that?
Angry black woman.
See, I call you good, and you call me angry, and I don't think that's fair.
Wow. You need to turn that mic down because you show no sound angry right now. You loud. Angry. Yes, sir. But man,
well, today, people, if you're tuning in to the show, we are talking about, the title of the show is Protecting and Saving Our Young Black Male.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to be discussing, you know, can we save our young black males? Are we teaching them how to become men? Can we deter them from actually getting involved in violence, drugs, gangs, and dropping out of school? And why is always sagging pants, baggy clothes, being sloppy, being unprofessional and lazy continuing to be a characteristic for young black males? These are the things that are, you know, that are really is a problem this day. So we need to actually pinpoint these things and try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, we do, man, because, I mean, you really think about it, man. It's an epidemic. Like last week, you know, we talked about the violence in Chicago. You know, the don't ask, don't tell,
right,
and all these different scenarios and situations that's really involving males. And,
right,
I mean, with the situation in Chicago, primarily the young black men that are there, you know, I mean, this is a problem, man. I mean, we losing too many cats and kids and, I mean, really too many young men. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's getting crazy, and I know we definitely need to take a grasp of this situation and you know, really get rid of this epidemic that we got going on, man. It starts at home, dog.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, a lot of people are looking over this point. I mean, this is a, you know, every decade, I mean, those numbers still, either they rise or they still stay in that same medium. I mean,
right,
we still see, you know, a lot of these particular signs that we're actually going to talk about today, they're in that same little category. Never failed. I remember hearing about it 10 years ago.
Most definitely.
So,
and it was 10 years before then, and 100 years before then. So, I mean, it's still crazy out here. But we're going to get into that as, you know, when we get into the topic of the day. But, man, something that just happened in the news. I don't know if everybody on the line and that's listening online live, we appreciate you for doing that every Sunday with us. Man, did you hear about the little story with the Henny family where the young man was up in the balloon or supposedly
right,
in a little UFO looking balloon, man. I mean, dude, it seems like when black kids go missing, and I ain't trying to go there when I say this, so y'all excuse me, but when black kids go missing, it's a story for 30 seconds, and then that's it. This little boy was missing for how many days, and they still looking for him, and his butt was up in the attic of the doggone garage?
Right.
I mean, this is crazy, man. And from what I'm understanding, the family's possibly going to get charged with a misdemeanor. Now, if that would have been one of us, man, they probably would have been like child custody service. We taking y'all butt to jail. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you're trying to make us look bad.
Yeah. All that.
And
all that.
Man, how about this? The family tried to get a reality show on TLC. But TLC said, man, since y'all went out like that, that's done. That's done. That's over with. We're not doing it with you guys.
Now what? Now what?
And then also the family was on an episode of Wife Swap. You familiar with that show?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I think the funniest skit I ever seen in my life was a situation where Dave Chappelle had the one where he did the wife swap. When it was a black man and a white woman,
right.
And a black man. And he was playing that the character with the nappy afro and had hanging out his mouth.
Leonard.
Oh, man.
Leonard.
That was horrible. Yeah,
oh,
Leonard.
Yeah, that was classic.
That was classic. Horrible. He said, I ain't never put
my
spoon up in no sugar, but I'm going to do it. But that's something that I found kind of throw it off. And I mean, on a serious note, man, one of the cornerbacks for the University of Connecticut football team was fatally stabbed on the campus, man. I mean, back to the violence. What in the world is going on with these college campuses, man?
It's always something every week, man. I mean, it's always something every week.
I don't know, man. And then not too long ago, you had another situation where a young lady was shot a couple of weeks ago out here on the Clark Atlanta University campus. I mean, you think about it, man. I mean, it's too much violence out here that's going on, man. My daughter want to go to Clark. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Not
right
now.
Your kids walking around with bulletproof vests.
And speaking of colleges, of course, Morehouse College has been in the news lately about their new appropriate attire policy. And we're going to try to probably talk about that in the show as well, too, because it sort of relates to the show. But they have some new guidelines that the males over there are going to be following now, and under the new president, which is Dr. Robert Michael Franklin Jr.
Right.
So, and I have that actual copy of the policy verbatim. I got it offline, and we can go into that a little bit later.
Yeah, we need
but,
to do that.
But most definitely, we're gonna go ahead on and try to get us our first song for our first break so we can get into this great show today.
Yes,
and
man,
the first song is Dilated People featuring Kanye, This Way.
Now turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Now turn it up.
Can't live my life this way, continually get high instead of run around like one bird down.
Yeah.
It's a new day, gotta do it big just to get by.
Right.
Show no respect, can't live that way.
Nah.
You hold my check, can't live that way. Without my chick on deck, can't live that way.
Yeah.
They say what they like, but I've been that way.
Woo.
I move calculated through the lens.
Yeah.
Almost here, success will be the best revenge.
Yeah.
And then Clint East to Kanye West.
What up?
The sun can't chill, but every day is set.
What up?
My favorite girl wanna leave me just just because I got a girlfriend. My freak girl told me now she a Christian. My white girl wanna move back to Michigan. I'm pulling girls off the bench like a sick man. I'm in the club doing the same old two-step, while I'm making doing the same old two-step. I had my money on my mind, I was thinking green. She had blessed, aka she was picking green. I want a good girl, she want a gentleman. We saying the same thing like a synonym. I wasn't really fitting game, I was scrimmaging. My penmanship so hard in these censorships. I'm a Chicago wind, till Chicago wins, till we blow like Chicago wind. I don't know what's better, getting laid or getting paid. I just know when I'm getting one, the others getting away this way.
Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm Kevin, and I'm chilling for the day.
And I'm Alan.
See, that's what I'm talking about, right there.
What?
You just ran all
over
my lane, dude. See, you know
what? You're a lane.
Yeah, it is, man. You weren't in here last week, so it's my lane right now, you know what I mean? And we also got on the line with us today, gracious, cool co-host. What's going on, girl?
And I'm jamming to that song. I love that song.
I can't live my.
Okay. Now you see how I feel when I be trying to do it.
You know what? I had to get both of y'all. You know what I'm saying? It was going down like that. It's been a while. I haven't used that sound. And, I had to get you two for that. But if you're just tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, today you're listening to The Middleman. We are talking about how can we save our young black males? Are we teaching them how to become men? How can we deter them from violence, drugs, sex, gangs? I did say sex, but I didn't mean to say that, but it's all in the same content. And dropping out of school. Why is baggy pants, clothing being so sloppy, unprofessional, and lazy continue to be a characteristic for young black males? We're going to get into this conversation today, and in our first segment, we are going to start off with how can we deter our young black males from violence, drugs, gangs, and dropping out of school? Let's start with this question right here. Gangs. I think in every part of America, every corner of America, you will find a gang, be it an all-traditional gang, or just a group of kids hanging together all the time, or...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This new situation where, you know, where the kids are really not a full-fledged gang, but they're merging the old gangs together and becoming a new gang. So, I mean, how can we stop these kids from doing this, man? Because it seems that a lot of times when you have kids getting in gangs, they are looking for love. They're looking for someone to be there for them, someone they can relate to. How can we stop these kids from doing this? What y'all think about that?
I mean, I think starting off, with gangs, you know, a lot of kids, you know, of course they look for the love and, you know, the feeling of being accepted. But it's also running with those group of peers that they've already been running with as younger ages, I would say.
Right.
So, of course, that feeling of belonging, and this is my group of people who I am familiar with, so I'm going to continue to hang with them and do what they do. So, you know, and also, I mean, really, some of the communities, I mean, it's part of their fault too, because they cut back on funding with after school programs, like the Boys and Girls Club in Columbus, Mississippi is going up, you know, due to lack of funding. And we have millionaires in Columbus.
I just feel like we can't put all that on one individual, as far as even if they have the capita to do that. But I mean, it's a community, man. I mean, people spend $5 on cigarettes every day. What if you just have a drive over there and say, hey, let's everybody get $5, $1.50, whatever, man. Let's do this for a month's time and see if we can raise the money to help these kids out. Because, like you said, if the Boys and Girls Club go, man, they ain't got nothing, Jen.
I
want to ask you this, Jen. I mean, I know you with the campaign, and you know, so you work with the campaign closely out here in Georgia with President Obama. Is there anything that you saw on the wire as far as them appropriating more funds towards after-school programs or things of that nature? What's on the fight?
Well, what I was going to say at first is when the president, he addressed the NAACP earlier this year,
right.
He did make one thing that was, I think, that has this prevalent to this topic. You know, there are, you know, funds right now for after-school programs. Really, that's a state issue and not a federal issue.
True that.
But he did say to our people that it's more than these after-school programs. It's more than these teachers. When your kids come home from school, it is up to you to take responsibility for your child and their mindset and their direction in life. And we have to stop totally, solely blaming the system, because the system has a lot to do with it, but it also goes back to our homes, our family units, what we're putting into our black families. And if we do not be careful and reinforce that, then there's nothing that the school system can do. You see these teachers, you know, and they're faced with, they not only have to be teachers and teach lessons, they're faced to be social workers. If I was a teacher, that's not what I signed up to be. I didn't sign up to be your social worker. I signed up to be a teacher. And a lot of these problems there before they get after school or before they get to school.
Well, check this out, Jen. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I would say this also. In our communities, if you think about it, we have a lot of people that, like you said, when the kids come home, they're not in tune with what's going on with their kids. They let them come home, sit down and watch TV, go outside and play, don't even really interact with them. But I agree with your self having responsibility for yourself and your kids. Now, I also heard a comment before that, if I'm a responsible parent, why can't I just look out of my neighborhood and take two or three kids into my realm and be like, hey, I got you. I mean, I think that's something that we really need to get back into, because a village does raise a child. So even though our local politician, local government has a lot to do with it, it starts back in our neighborhoods. I know I approached a pastor one time at a church that's in my home talking about, you know, can we do some more things in the community for the kids? And it seems like the only time that this church do anything for the community is when a big group from New Orleans come up here and have a concert every year. Now, I mean, that's cool, but what about day-to-day? What about feeding the kids through the summer? What about getting money for that? Or getting grants or whatever. I mean, it's kind of crazy to me that the village is not help raising the kids. What do you think about that, Ann?
Well, with that particular way, you know, we have, we're having younger parents. We're having, you know, teenagers who are raising, you know, their own kids as well, too. And then we have that population of where you have a parent who has a teenager who is raising their younger brother and sister because their parent is not there. And a lot of that goes back into the family structure, which we did a show on that previously. You all can go back to our previous shows on blogtalkradio.com/the middleman and check out that show. But that has an effect with that as well, too. A lot of that, you know, a lot of the parents, you know, aren't in tune to a lot of the things which you just said earlier, too, you know, KG. And for them to get that information, they have to want to seek that, too. And maybe, you know, a lot of that percentage of that particular side of the tracks maybe are not interested in that particular realm as far as improving that situation of their kids, because there is an ongoing social factor in their family.
Right. No. And I would like to say this also, man. I mean, even though it's up to the parents and all that, and Jen, you correct me or you can help me out with this statement. is there any way that we can go to, like, say for we can go to some area where we can go and find out if the kids, I mean, as far as with the parents, we can get brochures, things to help out the families. Is there any place we can go and get this information to hand out to the families around the areas that we live in, as far as helping with after-school programs or anything of that nature?
I mean, your local YMCA, your local Boys and Girls Club are great resources, people.
I live in a town without one, so what can I do?
Center.
I mean, but I live in a town without that, so what can I do?
Well, you call your local Boys and Recs Center.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and you find out, you know, what kind of programs your town, your city, your area has to offer. To reinforce something that you said earlier, you know, we have to start, if you see a kid, I do a program called Meals on Wheels every week where we go out and we give meals, and they have kids there. I guess they're maybe on probation. I don't know why they're there, but they're volunteering also.
Right.
And I saw a group of young black guys in the corner, and they were just acting like, you know, they didn't want to be there. They had their pants slouching.
Oh.
And, you know, I walked over to them, and I said, you know, pull up your pants and straighten yourself up and act like you want to be here. Don't let them define you
right.
as something that you're not. And I think more of us, when you see that in the street, for all our listeners, you see someone like that, take a moment. Stop being scared of our youth, because at the end of the day, a lot of them are just kids. And we have this in our mindset where we are afraid of our own,
right.
especially black men. We are afraid of them. And we can't, and they feel that.
And we have to
stop doing that.
Right. I'm going to go to this question right here that we're asking as far as with the topic of the day. Are we teaching them how to become men? Now, it was cool that you went up and talked to those young men and said, hey, pull your pants up. That was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I commend you for that. But me personally, I feel like if a man that was in that situation, if he would have did that, they probably could have respected that a little bit more. They respect
better.
You
yeah.
for yeah, they respect you for doing it. But if a man came up and said it, it'd have been like, hey, maybe I need to do this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe I need to put it together and get it, you know what I'm saying, get it together. But are we doing enough to teach our men to become men? And because I know there's a program out here in Georgia called Let Us Make Men. Derek Bozeman do it every year. I think that we need to have more situations where we can teach our men how to be men and teach our fathers how to be fathers, because we are from a generation where fathers are not being fathers, or they don't know how to be a father. If I've never seen how to become a father, therefore I am not going to be a successful father. So what can we do to help these young men become men and stand out in the community instead of being a thorn in the community side? What do you think, either one of y'all?
I think it's, you know, with that particular syndrome, a family has to have a good support system as well, too. And if they don't have a good support system, they don't have too many people that they can truly say that they trust and can rely on to give their kids some type of advice. You know, like as far as, you know, with my family structure, you know, I'm fortunate to have a lot of uncles.
Right.
And, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, I have their phone numbers and I could call them with anything, you know, that I need. And some kids don't have that. You know,
yeah,
some
true.
Kids don't have that good family structure. So, you know, by placing your kids in certain situations such as like church activities, making them play sports at school, getting them more involved in like school-related activities, community-based activities such as Boys and Girls Club, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that could strengthen their support system as far as if they don't have anybody that they look up to actually teach them things that,
right.
let's say, their mother or maybe their father has not taught them about.
And you know what? Something that hurts me the most, man, when you see popular guys in the neighborhoods, your drug dealers, your
mm-hmm.
basketball
oh,
players,
yeah.
all these guys that our kids look up to. I mean, they don't. Some of them don't have the sense, not to say all, man, because, I mean, if you see a popular guy, you want to be that popular guy. And it's sad that in our community that the most popular guys are the ones that get the most attention. And,
right.
and that's kind of sad, because if you're the popular, you're the most popular rapper, you're the most popular drug boy, you're the most popular football guy, and you're doing wrong in the community, what do you think you're going to spurn right behind that? The kids looking at you every time you walk around smoking weed, or you're out there got 50
like.
Girlfriends. They want to be you. So what can we do? I mean, as far as even with our kids, what can we do to try to curb that? Because I always felt that we need to start at a younger age. to help our children out. And it seems like we're not really getting to that because we address the problem, but we don't have any resolve or solution for the problem, it seems.
Well, I will say this, and I have said it on every single show,
mm-hmm.
that more people have to have a commitment in our community.
Yeah.
Well, we can't have this excuse where, I don't have the time, I don't have this. Well, will you have the time when one of these kids becomes your murderer? Or will you have time when one of these kids robbed your house?
Right.
Will you have time when, you know, something bad happens in your community? We have to stop being apathetic. We have to stop making excuses. We see a problem. We have to go fix it. The atrocity of what's happening with our young black men in the youth ship, so disturbing, so horrifying to you that you should feel compelled to go out in your community tomorrow and say, how can I help? Go to your local Boys and Girls Center. Who can I talk to? Go on the street corners and talk
mm-hmm.
to these people. And stop being so lackadaisical about our future because have a say.
Look, you just being too nice with that. You know what I'm saying? Stop being a punk. Let's call it what it is. Stop being a punk. Because that's basically what you are when you sit up there and you can't even stand up to a child in your neighborhood and talk to them. I understand they might pull out a gun, knife, or whatever, man, but be a man about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had to say there?
I have a stat here that I wanted to add in there, and this is from the Washington Post. This was taken from the 2005 Census Bureau, and they stated that the average African-American male between the ages of, born in 2001, 32% of those black males can expect to spend some time in prison over the course of their lifetime. That's 68% of them who are likely not to.
Wow, that is amazing.
And we only make up, 15 to 17% of the U.S. population?
In actuality, only 13, as they tell us.
Right.
As they tell us. But, yeah. But 13%, man, that's horrible. That's a horrible number. Is that the one where they're talking about if by the age of 30, you know, a person has seen a certain amount of time in prison or jail? Wow.
Yeah.
I thank God for blessing me that I haven't had to go through that as of yet. You know, and I pray to God keep everybody else that's, you know, going through the trials of life that they don't have to go through that. Now, one thing that we also need to talk on before we hit this break real quick, we need to speak upon dropping out of school. As you each know, you can go around to any corner in America. And the phone lines are open to everybody that's on the internet. You can dial 718-508-9972. Press that number 1. We will take your comments. We are taking comments right now. If you want to make a comment, press number 1. Thank you to everyone on the web chat, everybody that's listening online. But as far as the dropping out, man, you can go on any corner in America and see some kids hanging out while you out in the middle of the day while they should be at school. What can we do to help these kids stay in school? Because school has gotten so boring to these kids. It's like, man, they don't really care about it no more. What can we do?
You got to make it fun again. I mean, you got to bring something that you know that these kids are actually into and incorporate it into your your course of playing as far as, you know, what you're going to be teaching that week. I mean, we all know that kids like me. If you can formulate your study plan into some type of musical activity daily, you have their attention. Get them outside to do stuff. You know, when you're actually talking about, you know, flowers and leaves and all that, take them around the school campus and point them out. You know, this is what we were talking about. Pick one up, okay? We're going to take it back in there. We're going to look at it under the microscope. Kids like to do that.
Right.
You know, also with the PE class, I mean, that is getting cut short too, you know. I mean, when kids need more activity as far as to release some aggression. And then they're able to actually do more work because they can actually sit down and calm down and not act up in class.
All right,
and a lot of those kids who are...
Hold on, y'all.
Hold on, both of y'all. We're about to go to our next break. And I mean, Jen just throwed up a good stat right here. We're going to go into our break. Among the black men who drop out of high school, which is estimated at 40%, their situation worsens when they get out of school. Of those, 72% are jobless and likely to be incarcerated. I mean, this is a crazy stat here, man. And it, and the likelihood of being incarcerated jumps to 60% for those that
right.
who are jobless. It leads us to our second song of the day, Bad Decisions. And a lot of times we ain't really got a lot to do with it, which is just part of life. Our second song of the day is by MC Light, and it's called Poor George. So y'all remember this. Blog Talk Radio, The Middleman. Appreciate you for checking us out. That was Georgie Porgy by MC Light,
yeah.
Man. We take you back on this show, don't we, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Man,
oh,
you know
yeah,
what? I mean, man, where we come with the, where we get these records from, man?
I mean, look.
I mean,
you're digging
you're digging
in the
crates.
Crates.
Serious, ain't you?
Digging in the crates. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And if you're just tuning in to the Middleman Show or this is your first time listening to us, we always give you a little throwback in there, you know what I'm saying? It hits you in the chest with it. And
yeah.
all our songs that we play relate to our show. So if you wonder why we're playing a particular song on a particular show, well, it relates to the show and the topic. So
yes,
you're in the kids with them. Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. Well, if you're just tuning in, we have discussed so far, basically, how can we save our young black males? Are we teaching them how to become men? How can we deter them from violence, drugs, gangs, and dropping out of school? Why are sagging pants, baggy pants, clothing, being sloppy, unprofessional, and lazy continue to be a characteristic of young black male? That's what we're going to get into right now. Basically, stereotypes. And why are we still perpetuating these stereotypes in today's society? We've talked about this before, but it's an ongoing situation, and we're going to continue to talk about it until someone pays attention and we get some resolve in this. So, the stereotypes, man. Sagging pants. Baggy pants.
Oh, yeah.
We understand, and I know Jen has alluded to it before, that this is a characteristic of a prison environment.
Right.
Why is it still so popular? Because at a different, I mean, a long time ago, I recall when I was in school, sagging had just really started. I mean, I was honest with my son about it. Yeah, I bust a sag once or twice. But then when I thought about it, man, I saw more professional people on the jobs that I had, and I saw how they carried themselves. And that was the thing that impressed me the most, and I wanted to emulate a professional person. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I pulled my pants up. I tucked my shirt in my pants, and I tried to make sure I smelled good and kept my hair right at all times.
Right.
What can we do to keep these kids from wanting to walk around like ducks? As we said before, if I had a dog and I had him in my car, I would let him run after everybody that busts around with a sag. I'd let him chase me. Real talk. What can we do to prevent this?
That's a tough thing right there. I mean, our schools, you know, across the nation are enforcing that, you know, in the school as far as with the dress code. You know,
right.
You have to have a belt on, pants need to be up on your waist. But as soon as they bust out the school doors, belts come off, pants go down.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that is, I guess it's that feeling of fitting in, I guess. You know, because my peer is doing it, my best friend are doing it, so I want to do it too.
The rappers that we see on TV doing it.
Right.
I mean, man.
Shirtless.
Hey, dude, it hurt me. And I know I stated this before. It hurt me, dude. I saw a cat walking down the street busting a sag, right? But how about this cat had doo-doo stains in its drawers, man?
No.
Yes. I mean, a long streak. I mean, he just walking, right? And you just see him walking down the street like a duck, and he got doo-doo stains in his shorts. That is very horrible, man. It's horrible. Jen, what you got about this whole, what you think about this?
I think it kind of relates to what I was going to say before we left for the break, where, you know, Al says, like, a lot of schools are enforcing it, and it's kind of a hard line to draw. It goes back to what we're teaching our children. Like, schools and people can only go so far. We have to start training our children how to play the game.
Right.
You know, like, you know, it's not fair. You know, I can be who I want to be,
right,
and I'm this and that. You know, we have to put more effort into showing our kids how to play this game called America.
Yeah.
And I think we don't put an effort into all that.
I can agree with you because it seems that our forefathers back in the 1800s, the early 1900s, black people wore suits 5 times a day and dressed down on the weekend. Now we've gone to dressing up only on the weekend and dressing down 5 days a week. What do you think attributes to this whole situation of us not even paying attention to how we look? Because as I question that, being sloppy, unprofessional, and lazy, I mean, it seems like that's a characteristic in how they ghetto-size us in America's eyes. Now,
I think also that our black youth has a disconnect where they think they do not have a part in America, where they
right.
do think they don't have a part in the system, and they do. They play a very vital part, and they're using a lot of, especially black men, as pawns. They're using them as slaves here in the year 2009 still.
Yes.
And we have to learn that we do not have to accept. We do have a part.
Right.
And we do not have to accept the part that try to define us at. And I think we have to show our black youth that. And
very
I think
true.
A lot of times it comes to what you said, what I said earlier. I can say it a million times to a young man, but it will mean 10 times more if I can get some of my brothers to come out with me and say it to them too. And it just disgusts me.
Have y'all ever heard the coined phrase of sophisticated thug? Have y'all ever heard that before?
No, I'm not.
I have heard it, but you can explain that.
I mean, it's basically when a young black male is dressed from head to toe, say for if you have on a D-rag, the rag matches his shoes, the hat matches the pants, the shirt matches the shoes.
Right.
I mean, he's considered
right.
himself to be sophisticated because he matches.
Right.
That is something that you notice in society where when you look at TV, when they show a guy, his shoes are immaculate. Just, man, you can probably eat off of his shoes. But yet and still, you look at his peers, the white guys and the white people that he deals with, they may have on $50, a whole outfit that's $50, but the guy with the white T-shirt, the sophisticated thug, man, he probably have on an outfit that's worth $385 or above. Is there anything we can do to teach our kids to, I mean, not be so caught up with fashion? What is that? What is it all about?
That is a huge thing, a huge self-esteem matter, you know, with a lot of our teenage kids. Once they reach that puberty stage going into high school, they have to look a certain way, have to dress a certain way, they have to act a certain way. And with, you know, media playing a big part in that, you know, because Lil Wayne, he was voted most sexiest man, like in, what, 2008 or 2007.
That
and
little
he
alien?
Got a million of, yeah. And he has like a million and one tattoos, so of course. Right. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Okay, here we go. Even with the swag term. Okay,
right.
Who invented that? Why is it all about swag now?
I don't know. It's pretty lame to me right now. And
I don't
it's crazy. But I mean, to go back to what you said, Al, about, you know, the young guys and the way that they're portrayed and how they
right.
look, their outlook is on everything. But
left.
I mean, you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, did you really catch the statement that I made? You want to go over that again?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Weidman said that black boys are forced to remain boys or grow up too soon or never get the chance to grow up. They experience arrested development. That is his quote. I mean, basically,
right.
they're stuck in
right.
one mold and never get the chance to grow and flourish in life and be a productive part of our society. What do y'all think about that?
I think that America is a very, very complicated chessboard that we play. While the world is playing chess, we're playing checkers.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think that, you know, America does a lot of things to hold our youth captive. However, there are loopholes. You just have to know how to play the game. There are loopholes you can go through. There are ways you can get around it. There are many successful black men that have conquered many things in their lives and, you know, gone on to do great things.
Right.
They've learned, one key thing is they've learned how to play the game.
Right.
We have to
right.
start
but we do have that population too, Jen. Now, we do have that population too, Jen. You know, we got to think about, I would say, the ghetto. Okay, we have those kids who are only exposed to certain type of black males, like KG was saying earlier, those neighborhood superstars. Those are the superstars in their eyes. Those are
the
ones who they want to be like.
There
a small percentage.
A small percentage. So we have to learn what is this small percentage doing that we can give to the masses so they can learn the same thing too.
Well, and that's well,
they need
that
to be
small
exposed
percentage,
to it more so.
People, I'm gonna say this: that small percentage has one of the biggest marketing options, and you know the biggest marketing campaign going on for them, and that is called the media.
Mm-hmm.
That dope boy in the corner. His fashion, his sense of fashion becomes the norm for every Afro-American in his vicinity. Therefore, it becomes the thing that they look at, like, how can we make money off Big Joker? They look at him, and they push it to the rest of the country.
Now,
so,
you know,
what can we do to step up to that level? I mean, they got TV, 5 o'clock news, 11 o'clock news showing what's going down for them. I mean, how can we combat that?
But you have white America, middle America youth, that are doing the same thing. They're listening to rap, wearing urban clothes.
But what happens once they get finished listening to rap, Jen? What happens?
Not delusional.
They grow up.
They grow up. They're not delusional. A lot of our youth are delusional. They take the music videos.
Right.
They take the clothes.
Right.
And they form that into a reality. And what's different about middle America is that they separate entertainment from reality.
Uh-huh.
You know, Lil Wayne is an entertainer.
Right.
Clothes are nice, but that is, has nothing to do with your future unless you want to be a clothing executive. That has nothing to do with you as your person and how you can excel and how you can make your community excel. And what we have to do is break down delusion, mental delusion that's going on with our youth.
Well, I mean, and what I think what would help that too, Jen, is, you know, me and Z have had talks about this. If those rappers would say, hey, you know, start this campaign, hey, you need to stay in school, go to college, get an education. You know, be better than me. Don't be like me. You know,
save
someone else.
Especially the ones that are not greedy, the ones that have money, the ones that do have the balls, per se, to stand up and say these things. Because once you think about it, they're worried about my money's continuing past this situation. So, therefore, if I say something out that's positive and the labels are like, no, you're messing up your street cred and your images. You know what I mean?
Right.
They ain't going to do it.
Money behind that.
Now, I will say this. The BET Awards this past weekend highlighted something that was pretty cool. The BET weekend, the BET Awards highlighted all the charity groups that a lot of rappers are involved with. Maybe that can spark something in our communities where the kids see that these rappers are not out here just killing and taking. Maybe they will see the rappers out here giving back to their communities, but is it a little too late? That's my question.
No, it's never too late. There's always an opportunity for improvement. I think a lot of youth, if they're given the chance and they're showing the way, they will take the road. I do believe that. And we have to start having faith in our people, too.
Sure. And out of each potential, you know, youth that, you know, that actual came together in a group, of course you got that one leader, you know, that one strong guy that everybody looks to for answers.
The alpha
male.
You
know, that person has to step up and say, hey, we're going to do this too. You know, because every childhood friend, you know, you always had that one person that you could always call for help. You know, that person could actually step up and, you know, and change that trait with them. But
through that,
it also boils back down to the family structure too. You know, everything that we discussed today boils back down to that family structure. You know, they got to have that good family structure.
Well, the characteristics and the stereotypes that we do have out here, it is depressing at times when you see the news. And once again, to everybody that's on the chat line, the web, listening to us on the web and on your cell phones, we do appreciate you for listening to Blog Talk Radio, The Middleman. We do thank you for doing that. But, I mean, the situation is getting kind of crazy. And I feel that if our kids keep dropping out, our kids keep joining these gangs, they don't have any purpose, they don't have any meaning, therefore they really won't really care about anything around them, man. And they will destroy what they, you know what I'm saying, what so many people have died for to build. They will destroy it within a couple of years. And I feel that it's really coming. I really do. Hopefully we can change this whole environment. Hopefully. Well,
go ahead.
Oh,
I was just about to say, a change is going to come, as Sam Strickland say.
As Sam say, most definitely. Yeah. You listen to Blog Talk Radio once again, the Middleman Talk Show. Today we have discussed, how can we save our young black males? Are we teaching them how to become men? How can we deter them from violence, drugs, sex? I keep saying sex. Why I keep saying that, dude?
Because they do need to stop having sex. They're
yeah, they do.
Babies.
These babies. Yeah, you're right. Gangs and dropping out of school. Why are sagging pants, baggy pants, clothes being sloppy, unprofessional, and lazy continue to be a characteristics for young black males? Why is that? Which leads us into our third song of the day. And we got a caller. You want to go ahead? Let's take this caller before we get into this right quick.
All right. All right. Catch him. Get live on the Middleman Show. How you doing?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. How are you? It's Marva.
Hello,
how you doing?
Hello, Marva. Hey, sorry we missed your show last week.
That's okay, and I'm sorry I'm calling in so late. I'm actually driving.
Oh,
appreciate it. And I pulled over. Okay.
What's good?
But, I had to call in. I didn't get the topic, though.
Well, we're talking about saving our young youth, our black males. How can we go about doing this with everything that's going on with them?
Well, you know what? I think that kind of reiterates back to the last show you all pulled into of mine with regarding the NAACP.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, please forgive me, but I don't remember which one of you had called in.
That was me, Kevin.
Kevin, okay. And you were stating how, you know, how can I find out about local chapters or branches or whatever.
Right.
And I'm thinking that may be something to look into, because as I stated before, from what I saw myself, youth and college division of the NAACP, like it really, really is something that is so amazing. And if nothing else, really teaches these young people responsibility and discipline.
Right. Okay.
And I don't know. I would say that. And,
well,
and of course, I know people say, you know, role models and
right.
what have you, and talking to them, but I don't know. And I think another thing, too, to just talk to them in more of a positive way, because
yeah.
I think so many of our young black males, they're being told and being, and they're seeing so much negativity.
Yeah.
There is a great deal of positiveness, about our black men.
Yeah,
really.
But right. it seems that if that's the only thing you see, therefore that's all you will know. Because
exactly.
Because how we basically went about this show today, we were just asking, how can we deter our men from violence, drugs, gangs, and dropping out of school while sagging pants, baggy clothing, being sloppy, unprofessional, and lazy continue to be a characteristics for young black males? We basically were trying to figure this out because, I mean, that's what this whole discussion is about. How can we upgrade our images, you know, in society? And
like you were saying, I mean, we have to really just really work on the positive, because like you just said, if all they're seeing is that, how do they say, if it's all you see, that's all you know?
Yep. Yep.
And that isn't really the case, because it's more to it than that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wearing a nice pair of slacks that fit.
Right.
And a shirt and a tie. And that should be portrayed as something positive, not something being nerdy or geeky.
Exactly.
Or,
right.
You know, so, I mean, and I'm actually something that I'm kind of like working on myself, doing something hopefully in the near future. Who knows? Hopefully the middlemen will, like, work with me and we can collaborate together.
Yeah, we got you. We need your email address if you can shoot that over to us.
You know what? You did give me... I'm looking now because I was going to send you guys an email, and, I have your email address here.
Okay.
So look for an email for me this week. All
right. For sure.
Okay.
We appreciate you for tuning in again this week, and we definitely will catch you this weekend. We're going to go back and listen to the ones we missed anyway, because that's what we do.
And
that's
appreciate
right.
that.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You
and
so much.
You are our Blog Talk family. We greatly appreciate you. Gratefully.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Same here.
Take care now.
All right.
You too. Good night. Bye.
Hey, that was Marva. Hey, I'll say her show because I'm probably going to beat myself up if I say it wrong again.
Colors of Class.
Yes. Well, I keep wanting to say Color Changes. I know that's a group out of somewhere. I mean, it's a political group, really. Color Changes. They do a lot of wonderful things, man. But,
right.
You know, we're going to go ahead and get into this third song right quick. Y'all check us out, because this song right here kind of sums up a lot of the things that we go through. It's by Nasir. Y'all know who Nasir is. And that's Jones, baby. The song, third song of the day is America. Thoughts Radio, Middleman. Appreciate
you. It's like waking up from a bad dream. Just to figure out he wasn't dreaming in the first place. All I saw was gangsters coming up as a youngster. Pussy and money, the only language I clung to. Cling to, I mold myself up to become one. Ain't you happy I chose rap, I'm a monster. Streets deceiving, can't believe my achievements. Cultural strata, persona's that of a non-meter. Cause I don't need not except a pot of beaver. For cold winters, tattoos got my summer sleeveless. My G's on the sleeve from the copper's top. This body's on freeze in funeral pollen. From the slums I come up a phoenix. Caked up trying to take what I'm eating. Came up with the snips of kids. You lucky if you're allowed to witness this. Savvy mouth, Wild Hartley, a man's man, who would've knew the beach houses, the wild parties, Jezebels and Stella McCartney's, for years, all that, how can I not be dead, this old German, said I was a thug with a knotty head, looked at my Benz and called that a Nazi sled, with a face like he wondered where I got my bread, probably all these stones he see, from my shows overseas, from crime to rhyme, my story is I'm from the home of the thieves, America,
America.
Pay attention, wake up. Blessed, the Lord is a G, he gotta be. Who's the god of suckers and stitches the economy? Lipstick from Marilyn Monroe, blew a death kiss to Fidel Castro. He want me to spit this, only the strong survive. Nas bear witness, the hypocrisy is all I can see. White cop acquitted for murder, black cop cop a plea. That type of shit make you stop and think. We in chronic need of a second look of the law books. And the whole race dichotomy. Too many rappers, athletes and actors, but not enough niggas and NASA. Who give you the latest dances, trends and fashion? But when it come to residuals, they look past us, woven into the fabric. They can't stand us, even in white tees, blue jeans and red bandanas. America,
America.
Pay attention. Wake up. Diplomatic relations, killed indigenous people, built a new nation. Involuntary labor, took a knife, split a woman, neighbor, took a premature baby, lit a man, so you rape her. If I could travel to the 1700s, I'd push a wheelbarrow full of dynamite through your covenant. Let her sit on the Senate and tell the whole government, y'all don't treat women fair. She read about herself in the Bible, believe that she the reason sin is here. You played her with an apron, like bring me my dinner, dear. She the nigga here. Ain't we in the free will? Death penalty in Texas, kill young boys and girls, barbarity. I'm in a double law casualty. Bugging how I made it out the hood, dazzle me. How far are we really from third world savagery? When the empire fall, imagine how crazy that'll be.
America.
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 And that was Nas Seed Jones. Nas, America. You tuned in to the livest, dopest, hottest. What other words can I use for this show, Al?
Flaming.
Man. Nah, we ain't flaming, dog.
I thought I could have put another feminine.
Yeah, we ain't flaming.
On there for high, man, or something, you know?
Nah, man. Dope is something. We ain't flaming.
Wow.
But,
awesome.
You tuned in to the Middleman Talk Show once again. We appreciate everyone that's listening to us live online. Everyone that's on the phone that took the time out again. Once again, this Sunday to listen to the Middleman Talk Show. Today, we discussed how can we save our young black males? Are we teaching them how to become men? How can we deter them from violence, drugs, gangs, I'm going to add sex in there also, and dropping out of school? Why is sagging pants, baggy clothes, being sloppy, unprofessional, lazy, continue to be a characteristic for our young black males? Now, this topic was deep. Maybe we need to carry on further along. I know Al had a little situation where he wanted to talk about the Morehouse College and their dress code. But Al, did you want to get into that, or you want to go ahead and just really move on? And
well, we can. I did say that I was going to read a few of the new bylaws on there.
Run it.
Hold
on, before you do that, everyone that's on the web, everybody that's on the web, the show may drop out, but you can go back to blogtalkradio.com/The Middleman and download this show, email it to your friends, tell everybody to listen, because, hey, we get down around here.
That's right.
Al, go ahead and hit them with it.
But basically, under the new Morehouse president, Dr. Robert Michael Franklin Jr., he stated that no caps, no do-rags, or hoods should be worn in the classroom, cafeteria, or other indoor venues. No sunglasses or shades that are not to be used for work in class or formal programs unless medical documentation is provided. Any decorative orthodontic appliances such as grills, must be removed from any event worn on campus. Also, clothing with derogatory, offense, or lewd messages, either words or pictures, not be worn on campus. And also, they have for additional dress regulation may be imposed upon students participating in a certain extracurricular activity, such as organized college athletic teams, the band, the street club. And also, they have stated that no wearing of clothing associated with women's garments, such as dresses, tops, tunics, purses, pumps, on the campus of Morehouse College,
right,
or any college-sponsored event. So, there's a lot more on there. You can just Google Morehouse College Appropriate Attire Policy, and you can actually read the rest of those on there as well.
Jen, go ahead.
Well, Al, that's not really surprising to me. I went to Hampton University, and if anybody out there is listening who knows Hampton, and I will go ahead and say it, it's one of the most bougie black schools, HBCUs, I think, in the country. And, you know, for our university, as a freshman, for University 101, you know, you have to dress in business attire, no durag, so nothing on campus, no none of that. So that was the norm at Hampton. And also, in my class, we had a student with dreads kicked out because the teacher said, you know, that is not going to cut it in corporate America, and you have to get out. It was a big ordeal because, you know, the student said, you know, this is my hair, I'm not going to cut my hair, and the student was dropped from the class because the professor refused to have him in there with dreads. I met some people in the new Black Panther Party, and I wanted them to come kick it with me on campus. Anyway, and they would not allow them on campus. They would not allow them to come on campus, which surprised me at HBCU.
Well, check this out. We're going to do something like that on an upcoming show. We're going to talk about this again. So, everybody that's still on the phone lines listening, we appreciate you guys. And make sure you tune in next week. We're going to go ahead. I know as of late we haven't been posting our shows up as fast, but we definitely going to get back to that. And we appreciate you for taking the time out. Again, as Al always says,
thank you for taking an hour out your day to listen to us.
Dude, if you was any slower, and I can't do it right now, but I would get you. I would get
you
so good right now.
What are you talking about,
man?
I hate on that, man.
Take him out, baby.
Hey, we got it. Here.
The middleman shouted, Big Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute, shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, yeah, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.